Father, indeed, as we have had morning service and been inspired, as we have now had some singing and also are uplifting our voices unto thee in praise of thy greatness, we pray that you would be with us as we would read thy word and meditate upon it yet once again. In Christ we pray. Amen. So as Brother Tim was expounding today about when is it when we should stick together, right? When do we separate? When do we stick together? It struck me that as I was looking and meditating upon Scripture, I'd like you to turn with me to Acts 11. We're going to read verse 17 and 18. Actually, we'll read up to there. Acts 17:11 is actually a very famous passage. I think we all know that. I do want to bring into it because we're going to be reading not Acts 17:11, but Acts 11:17. Okay, very similar, right? Both of these are pivotal in my mind, but I'll remind us what Acts 17:11 says. Then these, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So the Bereans, every time they heard something, they went and they searched and they proved out whether these things were so. So that's Acts 17:11. And so we should all have that memorized, because that's what we should be doing in our lives. All the word that we heard, the word that we heard this morning, we should be comparing it to Scripture. And is it so or is it not so? And then what do you do with that, right? But now we're going to read Acts 11, and I'm going to read 17 and 18, and then I'm going to go back and give some backup to it. Acts 11:17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So let's stop there. I'll give you a little backup. So right now, this is the account of Peter. In chapter 10, he has the vision of the unclean beast being dropped down in a sheet, and it happens three times, and the Lord says, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, not so, Lord. I've never done eating anything unclean. I'm not going to do that. And each time says, Peter, you're not to call those things unclean that the Lord has cleansed, basically. This is not for you to decide, right? And so, indeed, as he has these visions, at the same time, Cornelius, this is a centurion, a man over 100 Roman soldiers, has been having his vision. And in his vision, he sees a man, an angel, that comes to him and says, Cornelius, thy prayers and thy alms have been heard. So here was a man that was a Gentile, who was not a Jew, conversely, right? And he has had a vision that his prayers and alms were heard. So here was a man who didn't have that birthright, if you would, but he had the right heart, the right attitude. You know, back when the Romans had taken over, they were exposed to many gods. If you read in the book of Acts, oh, they had Jupiter. They had all these different gods and goddesses that were there. But here Cornelius was a man that was enlightened so that he understood who God was. And he was given a gift. He was given a gift by God that your prayers, your supplications have been heard. And then he says, go send in Joppa for Simon, Peter. He's lodging at the house of Simon, a tanner, not to get things confused. And he's going to tell you what to do. So Cornelius holds true to this vision. He sends two of his servants and a soldier to go to Joppa and to go to Simon the tanner's house to ask if Simon Peter was there. So those guys are on the way. Here Simon Peter is having this vision just at the same time. And it says in chapter 10 that he's pondering these things in his heart. What does it mean, the sheep coming down and the beasts and kill and eat? And no, I shouldn't do it because it's unclean, but I'm not to call that which has been cleansed by God unclean. He's pondering it in his heart. It says in chapter 10, 17, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry from him at the door of Simon the Tanner. So just as he's thinking about what does it mean, here come the three men, the two servants and the soldier. And Peter now, in addition to the vision that he had, has a leading of the Spirit that says, God basically says, I've sent these men. Go with them, please. Peter walks downstairs, and he knows they're not Jews. It's a soldier. It's two servants. They're not Jews. And Peter went down, and there were the men from Cornelius, and he said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What for what cause? Why are you here? And then they rehearsed. They said, Cornelius, who is a centurion, we're his servants. This is a soldier. He sent us here to talk to you so that you can tell us how to live, what to be like. And here's some key verses here. Then called he them in and lodged them. So here's Peter, a Jew, that hitherto has not had dealings with Gentiles. You don't lodge Gentiles. Jews did not lodge. You don't eat with them. You don't lodge with them. You don't talk to them, right? This is where he was from. This is where all the Jews were thinking. And yet we know that in Scripture it is talked about that the Gentiles would have a light, right? That Christ would be the light to all nations. And we'll talk about a few of those verses. But here, Peter, he gets the picture. And basically in verse 28 of chapter 10, it says, and he said unto them, you know how it is that it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. So he's going. He's gone. And basically, he's going to go and he's going to be a light to the Gentiles. He's going to go to Cornelius' house. And as he goes and as he hears Cornelius' story, this confirms what he's just experienced. You know, here's Cornelius, a man who's praying to God. His family is with him. He's giving alms to the poor. He's doing everything that's right. And he's asking me to preach the word of God to him. And as Peter goes to preach the word of God to them, the Holy Spirit falls upon Cornelius and his family, just as it had in the earlier book of Acts upon the Jews. So that's another confirmation, right? So all of this is done, and now Peter goes back to Jerusalem and Judea. And as he's coming home, you know, news travels fast, right? Before he gets there, there are two bits of news that have come. One bit of news is that the Lord has appeared to the Gentiles. The other bit of news is that Peter's been eaten with them, right? So let's pick up in chapter 11 and read this passage, and we're going to stop at verse 18. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. Now here's the key. Yes, Peter was condemned in their sight. They were upset about this. He had broken the law, right? And even though they knew that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, that's not what they were concerned about. They weren't concerned about the Gentiles receiving the word of God. They were concerned that Peter was eaten with them, right? And Peter understood this. And Peter goes on to describe, he says, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order, saying unto them, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, and I saw a vision, and the vision was of the sheep coming down and unclean beasts. And I said, no, Lord, I can't kill and eat. And the Lord said, you should. You know, not so, Lord. Verse 8. But I said, not so, Lord. Fear nothing, common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, therefore call now not thou common. And this was done three times. So he's rehearsing this to the ones of the circumcision. Now, here's where it ties in to the morning sermon. There's a difference among the brethren here. The Jews of the circumcision, the ones that they're really sticking to, you know, you can't just be a Gentile. You got to convert to Judaism. You can have salvation, but it's only through the Jews, and you got to be a proselyte to the Jewish nation. And Peter's saying, yeah, I kind of believed that way. I felt that way, but I had this vision. And then on top of this vision, as I saw this vision, and I was pondering upon it and trying to figure out what it was, I had a leading from the Spirit that I should go with these men. And I took six brethren in verse 12. It says, moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee the words whereby that thou and all thy house shall be saved. And Peter says, he goes on, he goes, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he's seeing this before his eyes. And this goes back to searching the scriptures. He's pondering in his hearts. He's remembering. He's thinking, how does this fit in, this vision? Does it fit in with scripture? And then it was Jesus' words that said, that when you see that, yeah, John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then right in front of his eyes, here were these Gentiles being baptized. The Holy Ghost had fallen upon them. He goes, who was I? For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And that's an answer. That's something for us. Who are we? Who are we that we should withstand God? It's made plain. We compare it to scriptures. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Be transformed. So let's talk about conformed and transformed. Two different words. conforming. So I remember I was working at a facility down in San Diego, and they made airplane parts, right? And this is a huge facility, acres and acres. And I remember walking through the plant. Actually, they were turning the solid rocket boosters for the space shuttle. They were turning the O-ring groove there, right? They had the huge lathes, I don't know, 23 feet. And I was watching that. It's like pretty amazing. I go over and I'm looking across the plant. And I bet it's from here to the houses. You know, I'm inside, but it's from here to the houses over there. There's another machine. And it has a piece of aluminum. It's this big. No, it's probably 15 feet long, 8 feet tall, piece of aluminum. And they put it on a mold that's the front of a 747. And they put it in clamps, and they just stretch it. And it looks like saran wrap going around a bowl, this metal. Whoop! It conforms. It is stretched. It is tensioned. And now you have the nose of a 747 or whatever the plane was, right? That's conforming. They had another machine that was closer by. They were working titanium, okay? So you don't just stretch titanium like that. They had, I think it's called super plastic forming. They had the titanium, and it was red hot above it. They had electric coils, and it was glowing red. And then you'd have this sheet being held by clamps. It's glowing red, and it drops down over the mold. And then while it's red hot, high-pressure nitrogen goes, and it forms it into the shape of whatever the mold is, right? That's conforming. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the world. Don't fit into the mold of the world, right? And indeed, the world will mold you. It will stretch you. It will heat you up. It will force you in. Be not conformed, but it says, be ye transformed. That's metamorphosis. That's like a butterfly. No. That's like a moth. That's like a caterpillar going to a butterfly. A caterpillar is not molded into a butterfly. It's completely changed. And here, you know, I read all the way up to where Peter was changing his views. But here was this was so encouraging. When they heard, when these men of the circumcision, with these Jews that had this view that you needed to be circumcised and that Gentiles and Jews should have nothing to do with each other, when they heard these things that Peter just told them, they held their peace. And not only did they hold their peace, they glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." This is so encouraging because this is kind of in a little nutshell, those two verses. Peter changed, and the men of the circumcision changed. And it wasn't because they were listening to each other. It was because they were listening to God. It was because they read the scriptures. It was because they had them hidden in their heart. And as they thought of these things and pondered on these things, and it was explained to them and showed to them by miraculous things, they all came together and they were conformed to the image of God. Okay, there's another passage that says be conformed. But if you look at that word conformed, even though it's translated the same way, it's more of the metamorphosis. It's the metamorphosis root. Okay? It's being transformed. It's being completely changed. You know, Peter had a bad habit of telling Christ no. If you remember, Christ said, "You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to die." And Peter says, "No, no, no, you're not going to die." He said, you know, he's saying no to Christ. Peter says, Christ says, "I'm going to wash your feet." Peter says, "No, no, no, you're not going to wash my feet." He ends up washing his feet, right? Peter had this bad habit of saying no to what Christ said yes to. In our lives, you know, we can see how even the men of the circumcision, they can learn, they can change. And they're not just changing arbitrarily. They're not picking up these, you know, there's 1,000 different things that you can do wrong. But as we read the Word of God, as we compare our lives to the Word of God, the only way that we can get along, the only way that we can be unified, Brother Tim said, is if we are all being Christ-like. We're all trying to maintain and strive for that image of Christ, the love that He showed us, and the selflessness that He showed us, the living for others that He showed us, the preaching of the Word that He taught us and exampled for us. Then, indeed, we can live a unified life. May the Lord bless His Word.